Chapter 11. Pirates in the Canal Zone. The next day, the Panamanian government sent a man to show me around. His name was Fidel, and I was immediately drawn to him. He was tall and slim and took an obvious pride in his country. His great-great-grandfather had fought beside Bolivar to win independence from Spain. I told him I was related to Tom Paine, and was thrilled to learn that Fidel had read Common Sense in Spanish. He spoke English, but when he discovered I was fluent in the language of his country, he was overcome with emotion. "Many of your people live here for years and never bother to learn it," he said. Fidel took me on a drive through an impressively prosperous sector of his city, which he called the New Panama. As we passed modern glass and steel skyscrapers, he explained that Panama had more international banks than any other country south of the Rio Grande. "We are often called the Switzerland of the Americas," he said. "We ask very few questions of our clients." Late in the afternoon, with the sun sliding toward the Pacific, we headed out on an avenue that followed the contours of the bay. A long line of ships was anchored there. I asked Fidel whether there was a problem with the canal. "It's always like this," he replied with a laugh. "Lines of them waiting their turn. Half the traffic is coming from or going to Japan, more even than the United States." I confessed that this was news to me. "I'm not surprised," he said. "North Americans don't know much about the rest of the world." We stopped at a beautiful park in which bougainvillea crept over ancient ruins. A sign proclaimed that this was a fort built to protect the city against marauding English pirates. A family was setting up for an evening picnic, a father, mother, son, and daughter, and an elderly man, who I assumed was the children's grandfather. I felt a sudden longing for the tranquility that seemed to embrace these five people. As we passed them, the couple smiled, waved, and greeted us in English. I asked if they were tourists, and they laughed. The man came over to us. "I'm third generation in the canal zone," he explained proudly. "My granddad came 3 years after it was created. He drove one of the mules, the tractors that hauled ships through the locks." He pointed at the elderly man, who was preoccupied helping the children set the picnic table. "My dad was an engineer, and I followed in his footsteps." The woman had returned to helping her father-in-law and children. Beyond them, the sun dipped into the blue water. It was a scene of idyllic beauty, reminiscent of a Monet painting. I asked the man if they were U.S. citizens. He looked at me incredulously. "Of course, the canal zone is U.S. territory." The boy ran up to tell his father that dinner was ready. "Will your son be the fourth generation?" The man brought his hands together in a sign of prayer and raised them toward the sky. "I pray to the good Lord every day that he may have that opportunity. Living in the zone is a wonderful life." Then he lowered his hands and stared directly at Fidel. "I just hope we can hold on to her for another 50 years. That despot Torrijos is making a lot of waves, a dangerous man."